Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the 86th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the NFC champion San Francisco's 49ers select Dominique Pooney, guard from Kansas.
Now back to Draft Night on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Ranney, Sterling Bennett with you here on Draft Night. Take two on 95.7 The Game. And yeah, that was the Niners' most recent selection announced by Anthony Spice Adams, a former NFL player, former 49er, has since kind of turned into an internet celebrity. And he's got he's the face on a great meme. You know the meme I'm talking about where he's like hiding behind a tree and he's like licking his lips. Exactly. Anthony Spice Adams announcing the pick. Dominique Pooney, offensive guard, Kansas, 6'5", 313 pounds. The Niners traded up from 94 to 86 with the Eagles to select him. They also gave the Eagles their fourth round pick, 132nd overall. That was one of the Niners' many compensatory selections, so they're using those comp picks, putting those comp picks to good use once again. The Niners' three-person draft class so far through nearly three full rounds. Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver out of Florida, the 31st pick. 31st pick of the first round. That was last night. Renardo Green, cornerback out of Florida State.
Reach.
Okay. There we go. Second round, 64th overall. And then most recently, as you just heard, Dominique Pooney, offensive guard out of Kansas, 86th overall pick. Third round selection for the San Francisco 49ers. Three selections, wide receiver, corner, offensive guard. Sterling, through three picks, how you feeling about this draft class?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think San Francisco filled a need with Dominique Pooney, and they have, I mean, I'm someone who likes Ricky Pearsall a lot and what he can bring. I know 31 fans are still a little like, I don't know about that, but I like Ricky Pearsall a lot. I'm more concerned about Renardo Green, but the consensus of everybody on Twitter, on television, are like, this kid's great. You can't wait to see him play. Just watch. So I'll sit back, I'll wait, and I will listen and watch what happens. But my biggest concern right now is trying to find a nickname for Dominique Pooney. Because
offensive lineman with the last name, it's spelled P-U-N-I, but pronounced Pooney. It's not a good last name for an offensive lineman.
So,
Pooney?
There are a few that come to mind, and they may be inappropriate to say on the radio station. So maybe I don't do that, but I will try to pronounce this one as clear as I can.
Where are you pulling this from? Twitter?
My brain.
Okay.
My...
You're reading off of the computer screen.
No, because I was reading because Lori, who is great, is talking about offensive linemen, but below Lori is Douglas, who called him Big Oos Poon. You probably shouldn't say all the time, but I'm thinking of Kevon Looney. We call him Loon Dog. Can you call someone Poon Dog? It gets a little dicey with the radio and everything, but I think it'd be okay.
And I'm getting a correction from Monty. The Samoan pronunciation is Pooney. Yeah. Pooney, not Pooney. So
well,
Pooney.
You probably can't say it on the radio.
And Douglas is saying Use as well.
Oh, it's Use. He's Jey Uso. It's Use. Do you watch wrestling, Mark?
Oh, no.
If you watch wrestling, there are two people, characters, wrestlers that call each other Us. They're Hawaiian, Samoan, and they say, "What's up, Us?" And their name is Jimmy and Jey Uso. So I get it.
Okay. But whatever. Dominic Pooney is the selection. Do you have other nicknames that you want to run through? That was it?
Yeah, that was it.
We're going off the rails.
Hey, stay to the draft, baby. You got to do something right.
But through three picks, the Niners, Ricky Pearsall, yes. Renardo Green, and Dominic Pooney, wide receiver, cornerback, and offensive lineman, played mostly tackle in college, but you would project him to be a guard. And if you're picking one spot for him maybe to focus on, you would like right guard if you're the 49ers, yeah?
I think it would be the obvious answer as to where your biggest need is, where your biggest hole might be for your offensive line. It looks like the Niners, and they have essentially kind of told him, they envision him playing guard with, if there's a need, moving out to tackle. Now you have to think the need at tackle is probably right tackle if McKivitz falters or gets injured, because at this very moment, San Francisco's backup tackle is Jalen Moore. Maybe in year one, Dominic Pooney is simply, or Pooney is simply your sixth offensive lineman and gives you depth. I'd prefer that be John Feliciano, but Feliciano doesn't really have tackle ability, whereas Dominic Pooney might. So there is this kind of give and take of what do you want. Again, the perfect projection is be my franchise right guard. In 1 year's time, you re-sign Aaron Banks and you figure out left tackle. But if Trent Williams is there in the next 1 to 2 years, then you have yourself three consistent, solid starters that are both great run blockers, above average. Williams is phenomenal pass protectors, and you've given Purdy three solid, consistent players to protect him every single game.
Yep, that would be the hope. So the 49ers, again, through three picks and essentially through three rounds, we're getting to the final five picks here of this third round. We're in compensatory draft selection area. The Niners have Ricky Pearsall, a wide receiver, Renardo Green, a corner, and Dominic Pooney, an offensive guard out of Kansas. But maybe
the Pooney dog!
I'm seeing on our YouTube chat the Poonisher. we're going too far.
FCC
here.
Needs to stop.
We're going too
to
far. But anyway, perhaps the bigger story than any of these individual picks, Sterling, is that the 49ers have not traded away Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk today. And John Lynch has said just recently, supposed to be talking about their most recent draft selections, but fielding questions about their entire team, has said of potential trade talks involving Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk today, John Lynch, quote, "We didn't entertain any of that today. We're happy with our wide receiver group. Actually, more than happy. We're thrilled with it and thrilled to add Ricky to make it stronger."
Well, John,
they didn't entertain any of that today, despite all of the rumors that the 49ers were thinking about trading Deebo Samuel, maybe asking for a second-round pick, maybe a third, who knows. John Lynch saying they did not even entertain any of it today.
But what does that mean? You didn't field offers? You didn't send a counteroffer? You just listened? Because you could have ended all of the thought, the rumor, the will they, won't they, last night. If you weren't going to entertain it today, why not just say last night, we are not trading Brandon Ayuk, which was obvious, and we're not trading Deebo Samuel. To me, that screams, we didn't not entertain it, we just didn't get the offer we liked. And I can almost guarantee you, if someone said, like Buffalo, we'll give you pick 33,
they
would have said yes. For Deebo Samuel, not Brandon Ayuk.
So this just screams, no one offered what we wanted. Yeah. We're going to come out and make sure we protect our guy Deebo and Ayuk, but specifically Deebo, and that we weren't even thinking about it. When in reality, if they were given the right offer, they would have done it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Right, because I didn't think they were going to trade any of them, because I didn't think anybody was going to pay the price they wanted.
Yeah, it's not that the Niners were so against the idea of trading them. It's that they valued them more than opposing teams were willing to give up.
And saying, we didn't entertain it, yes, you did. It's not like...
You pretty clearly did.
Like Mike Silver, Diana Rossini, guys in Pittsburgh weren't like... Other teams offered you trades, and you just didn't pull the trigger on them. Okay, like that... You can say... Teams called, we said no. That's fine. It's not as if the entire world doesn't know, you've at least been taking calls. Everyone knows that, including Deebo Samuel, who earlier today, after the NRCD, for as great as she is, said she talked to him and said, I know what's going on. It is what it is. I'm happy to stay here. He was like, these reporters. And it's like, so what is actually happening? I'm sure they called Deebo Samuel and said, hey, look, Deebo. And they explained to him, we're not actively trying to trade you, but if something changes in regards to what the compensation we might get in return is for you, we'll give you another call. And that's exactly how it would go for anybody else on the roster. So don't say you didn't entertain it, because you did. Just not to a point of we made calls. They definitely took calls.
What do you think other teams would be willing to give up for Deebo Samuel?
From my understanding, the highest offer was like a fourth-round pick.
That's what I
heard. Which makes sense.
Well.
So it's, yeah. And that's not good enough for a player like Deebo. For as he's aging into his age 28, he's going to be 29 next year. It's not like he can't take over a game and lead your offense for 5 weeks of a season. He did it this past year. Like, there was a stretch where he was like, oh my God.
Well, that Philadelphia game.
Oh, bro, Deebo
year.
Again. Exactly.
That Philadelphia game. He was amazing in that game. I think he had 3 touchdowns in that game, right?
And both Seattle games, he was great. Like, it's not as if Deebo Samuel at times doesn't have spurts of all-pro Deebo. But for John Lynch to say, we didn't entertain it. Yes, you did. But it's funny because the Niners today have done things we've agreed with, taking Dominic Puni. And then other things that we have questioned and we'll obviously dive into more after we leave today. And me and Dan Devone will dive into it tomorrow morning starting at 9 a.m. But John Lynch did say that they really liked Roger Rosengarten and he was their guy. But the minute he got picked, which they
you traded back.
Could have traded up to get him if they wanted to, one pick ahead of who was it, the Ravens?
Correct.
Because
The Ravens picked Rosengarten, and then
Kingsley Suamateo went to the Chiefs,
who traded up with you to get to that spot.
And it's like, okay, like if that's your guy.
Who? Rosengarten?
Roger Rosengarten. Yeah. But you were okay just letting him go to the AFC, which is fine, but you're letting a chance slip out of your hands to take the guy you like a lot to get a cornerback in which that comes back to the positional need and value and who they want, but if you like Rosengarten a lot, and it's already been said you wanted the tackle, you didn't get one in the first round, you could have had your guy in the second round, if you liked him enough, just take him. I'm not going to complain because they got a guard.
What if their guy was the cornerback Renardo Green?
You can have 16 guys in gold helmets. I mean, that's fine. There can be a guy in round 7. Joshua Cephas from UTSA, who is 6'3", 215 pounds, and is basically Juwan Jennings, but a little lighter. Like, I would go, yeah, that makes sense. But where they are aggressive sometimes confuses me. Because if you like the guy, you need a tackle, you want a tackle, it's not like you haven't taken the time out of the scouting process to not just talk with him at a top 30 visit. You've gone to his pro day and asked after the workout was over with to continue to put him through a singular workout that is designed for your offense. That to me screams, you love him. Why not move up one or two picks to get him? You don't think a team like the Ravens would trade back one pick? Of course they would.
Is what you just did with the Chiefs.
Exactly.
The Chiefs are picking 32nd in the second round. They traded up to pick 31st. You go back down to 31. You gained an extra fifth round pick as a result. Maybe with that extra fifth round pick, you felt more comfortable giving up a fourth to move up in the third. You move up from 94 to 86, and you get not a tackle, although a guy that played tackle in college at Kansas and Dominic Puni, he's probably going to be a guard in the NFL, but you got your guy there. But you're right. The way that went down at the end of the second round was really awkward because it wasn't just a couple of tackles going before you and you trade back one spot and another tackle goes. It was also then the report that the Niners were eyeing a tackle with that pick and perhaps by moving back, you facilitated a run on the tackle position that you were not a part of.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about earlier the Ravens getting both the guys San Francisco had their eyes towards, Nate Wiggins in the first round, Roger Rosengarten in the second.
Yeah, a corner and a tackle.
I also wouldn't be surprised if Patrick Paul to the Dolphins wasn't also a guy San Francisco reportedly loved. They had told other Houston players, we love your teammate Patrick Paul. So maybe that's a guy, Jordan Morgan. Like, LaFleur in Green Bay has a vendetta of, I need to catch Shanahan. And while, yes, the Packers needed the offensive lineman, and Jordan Morgan is a good player, I would not be surprised if just, I know Kyle Shanahan wants Jordan Morgan. He may not be the perfect fit, but that's the guy that I want, because I hate, quote-unquote hate, in a friendly way, losing to Kyle Shanahan.
That's a dangerous game.
I mean, it is. But
I'm picking a guy based on who I think my opponent might want.
And that isn't to say Morgan doesn't fit Green Bay, because he does, or a need they have. It's just like,
they wouldn't pick him if they thought he was bad.
Yes. If I don't take him, Kyle's going to take him. And we have the exact same need. So, again, I'm not going to sit here and complain. I love Pearsall. I like Pooney enough, and I'll try to say his name wrong, because if I don't, it might get me in trouble. But
you're good. Pooney.
Bernardo,
you can say it.
Pooney. Bernardo Green is a player where I need to learn more about. But honestly, I think the Niners, and I'm sure fans feel the same way, coming into today, it was like, I'll give you a C-minus and see how this thing works out. I think leaving today, it's a big swoop up to like a B. And I think at day three, with what they've gotten and the positions they've taken, at where they've taken them at, Niner fans should feel pretty good in where the team is at 2 days into the draft. Unless you just hate Ricky Pearsall, Mark.
I'm just so conflicted, because I don't dislike Ricky Pearsall at all.
The player, you're right.
The player at all. It's just, it's the situation. Now, I will say I'm ultimately glad that the team did not, and we don't know for sure how the rest of the draft will play out and how the rest of the offseason plays out. It seems unlikely that Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, or either of them, will be traded. I don't want them to be traded, because I think this team, obviously, is better with both of them here. And the Niners are entering a season where you're kind of pushing all your chips in the middle of the table to try to win a Super Bowl. And if you don't get the Super Bowl this year, and I know so many things can go wrong and can lead you to falling short of your goal, and you could ultimately lose in overtime of the Super Bowl once again. You could come so close, and you might just let it slip out of your fingers. Like, it's so incredibly difficult to win a Super Bowl. But the 49ers are a franchise whose goal is year in and year out to win a Super Bowl. So with that in mind, I want the best possible roster in order to get that job done. Because if you don't get it done this year, guess what? You may be paying Brock Purdy $50 million soon thereafter. What does that do? It puts a gigantic squeeze on the rest of your roster. Does it mean no more George Kittle? Is George Kittle on the way out anyway because he's aging? Is Deebo Samuel on the way out because he's aging? Probably one of those guys is going to be gone at the end of this season.
Seems like
potentially
Deebo was that guy.
Yeah, probably. Like, this is a do-or-die year in a lot of respects for the 49ers, and it does not mean if you don't win this year, you're going to be terrible in the future.
Right.
No, not at all. This team will still be very good, but it will. The team will likely never be able to, until you get a new crop and a new era of talented players in here again, this is an opportunity for the Niners roster to be the most talented in the NFL by a pretty decent margin. This is like their last real opportunity to be that way, because you are not paying a superstar quarterback superstar money. It has afforded you so much flexibility at every other position. Guess what? That bill will come due at some point. And it's not as if you're going to have to say goodbye to Fred Warner and say goodbye to Brandon Ayuk and say goodbye to all of these players. But this is an opportunity for the 49ers to go all in on this season. And if you're keeping Deebo and you're keeping Ayuk, my only thought was you could have used your first overall selection in the draft to select someone at more of a position of need. If you were keeping your current star receivers, oh, we got an interesting pick here. I'll get to it in a second. And Sterling, I know it caught your eye. If you're keeping your star receivers, maybe don't draft a third one with your first overall pick, and maybe go somewhere else where that position might be able to impact your team right away. But enough rambling aside, Sterling, why don't you tell us who the Washington Commanders selected with the final pick of the third round, pick number 100.
Well, it's certainly going to have many Niner fans who are hoping for one of the legacy players in this draft to be a Niner. It's not Brendan Rice, and it's certainly not Frank Gore Jr. The Washington Commanders have pick Luke McCaffrey, brother of Christian McCaffrey, with pick 100 in round number 3. So
Adam Peters gets his McCaffrey.
Oh, man.
He used to have McCaffrey, and now he does again. Commanders have had a pretty good draft.
I think of the teams that you can kind of put in the top two or maybe five that have won the draft, and they've had like the most picks. The Commanders have had a phenomenal
Let me
draft.
Read the picks off to like, you. So second overall, Jaden Daniels, quarterback.
Right.
You get Newton, the defensive tackle.
Who's great.
From Illinois. Mike Sanrastil, the cornerback from Michigan, who I know you love.
Mike!
Ben Sinnott, tight end from Kansas
Probably the
State.
Second best tight end in the entire draft.
Brandon Coleman, offensive guard from TCU. And okay. then most recently, Luke McCaffrey, the wide receiver from Rice. So you got six picks in three rounds.
And they signed like 20 players. Bobby Wagner's there now, I believe. Like, they've signed a lot of people this offseason. So while the Commanders probably shouldn't expect to be good this year, it's not like they're going to be horrible as they have been the past couple with, I'm forgetting his name, the quarterback.
Sam Howell.
Sam Howell, thank you, who's now in Seattle.
Jesus. I caught you off guard, didn't I? There's no more howling for the Commanders.
It might be howling with Seattle, so we'll see. But they have put together a roster that is a mix of veteran players. Clelin Ferrell's now there in Washington, so a lot of familiarity with the Commanders and also with the draft class they've had. A lot of, like, you could argue, Sanrastil was climbing up draft boards and could have been a first-round pick. Johnny Newton was supposed to be a first-round pick. Jaden Daniels, obviously, should
second
be a great
pick.
Player, second overall. Then Ben Sinnott, the second-best tight end. Didn't you get Luke McCaffrey, who I know third round seems somewhat rich, but if you want that big-bodied slot receiver who's 6'2", almost 200 pounds, had 17 contested catches last year, like, he's a guy that can just destroy man coverage, who's a former quarterback himself, like, Christian understands the offense in San Francisco because he has a quarterback's brain. So does his brother. Like, I don't want to gush about a team that's millions of miles across the country, but Adam Peters, former Niner executive and assistant GM, is having a great draft so far out there in D.C.
Yeah, he's having a really nice one. You get a quarterback of the future. You shore up your defensive line. With Newton from Illinois, you mentioned, you get a nice corner, a tight end, an offensive lineman, and now a wide receiver. Six picks through three rounds for the Washington Commanders. There's a lot of teams that have had some nice drafts as well. I hate to say it, although it's only a three-man draft class at this stage, focusing on just the first two picks. I begrudgingly say that I'm jealous of the draft the Philadelphia Eagles have had so far.
Yes.
They get a couple of really awesome corners. We can talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Draft winners and losers to this point. I think you are right, Sterling. The 49ers have had a more straightforward day two. It makes more sense. Not that I hate Ricky Pearsall. I don't at all. I think
Tell
he's going
me
to
how
be a,
you really feel,
I think he's
Mark.
Going to be a really fine player.
You hate his guts.
But I was a little confused in the moment as it happened. I'm still a little confused by the logic behind it.
I can tell in your eyes. It was like a feverish anger of like, what are they doing?
I was practically pounding the table. Practically pounding the table for Cooper DeJean.
And I will say this. I know we talked about it off the air last night. On Twitter, it did say the Niners have selected Cooper DeJean.
Okay, because...
And me and Evan both were like, this is great. We got a good player. Well, and then it was like, oh, God.
Well, there was the moment where I was basically calling my shot. It's going to be Cooper DeJean. And then Evan was like, oh, you're going to be happy. Yeah. And I was like, what are you talking about? But what's real... To bring everyone behind the curtain a little bit before we do hit a quick break, our final break of the night. I had already seen the pick being Ricky Pearsall on Twitter when Evan said, you're going to be happy. So I was wondering what the hell Evan was talking about, because I certainly would not be happy about that.
Oh,
and then,
man.
Of course, we heard the official announcement via NFL Network and whatever, and it was all...
Which was very surprising because we thought it was Ricky Pearsall. Someone else.
And it all went to hell. It all went to hell from there. But the Niners have rebounded nicely today. They're three players into their draft class. It will undoubtedly get bigger tomorrow. Three rounds are in the books. We've got four more rounds to go this weekend. Sterling Bennett and Dan DeMone will take you through a number of those tomorrow from 9 to noon. Should be a ton of fun. But for now, time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll put the bow on rounds 2 and 3, talk a little bit more about the Niners class, and then take a look around the league, winners and losers through three rounds. That's all coming up on the other side. Sterling and Grandy with you. More next on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now back to Draft Night on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Randy, Sterling Bennett with you. We are through three rounds of the 2024 NFL Draft. Rounds 4 through 7 kick off tomorrow, 9 a.m. here if you're on the West Coast, 12 o'clock Eastern Time. It's Sterling Bennett. We'll be live on the air beginning right when round 4 opens tomorrow at 9 a.m. He'll be alongside Dan DeVone. Should be a ton of fun tomorrow, 9 to noon here on 95.7 The Game. But it's Sterling and I, Mark Grandy, with you here for the next 25 or so minutes as we wrap up day 2 of the NFL Draft. The 49ers have made 3 picks through 3 rounds. Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver from Florida, near the end of the first round last night.
Who you tend to hate.
Don't put words in my mouth. I'm fighting. I'm putting out fires on the YouTube chat. I'm checking out our Comcast business text line there. Why does Grandy hate Ricky Pearsall?
Lori Matthews said you're going to have to eat crow.
And when
Lori speaks,
good,
you better listen,
yeah,
Mark.
You're right. I do. I respect Lori's opinion. But in this instance, Lori, you're wrong. I do not have to eat crow because I have never once said I dislike Ricky Pearsall, okay? I dislike the moment in which he was picked.
I wish, and they can on YouTube, but being in person, looking at you opposite when the pick came through, I was like, I like it. And it was instant, like, red-faced anger from Mark.
I need to go back through the YouTube feed and find it because
I'm sure it was more confusion of like, wait, what? Like, what are we doing?
I'm not sure I've seen a single mock draft with the Niners picking Ricky Pearsall. Not in total. I've seen a number of those, but not
including mine
in the first round. Not at 31 overall. But anyway, Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver from Florida, near the end of the first round last night. Renardo Green, the corner from Florida State, final pick of the second round after the Niners were reportedly scooped out of the offensive tackle position, although one did get picked after they traded down, oddly enough. And then they do get on the offensive line ledger, by selecting Dominic Pooney, the offensive guard from Kansas.
I'm so mature, I'm sorry.
late in the third round after they traded up. So you got an offensive lineman, a guard, a cornerback, and a wide receiver through three rounds. As we were talking about earlier, if you were to tell me those were the three positions they drafted through three rounds, okay, I'd believe you. That seems relatively straightforward. But now, Sterling, as we turn our attention to the final four rounds of this draft, with which the 49ers currently own 6 picks, you have 2 picks in the 4th, 2 picks in the 5th, a pick each in the 6th and the 7th, although we might see maybe them consolidate a couple of these picks, and maybe you get a 3rd pick in the 4th, or maybe you trade a 4th and the 5th and move up even further into the 4th. You never know, but right now they have 6 picks over the final 4 rounds. Their next pick is 124th overall in the fourth round. What are the positions, what are the areas of need at this stage, Sterling, that stands out for the 49ers as they tackle tomorrow, the final day of the draft?
They have not taken the defensive lineman, which seems odd.
You need a tackle, huh?
You
maybe an edge rusher, too.
Which is why, and to defend you a little bit in regards to Ricky Pearsall, like, Johnny Newton was there, and I would have loved to have Johnny Newton. Michael Hall, who went to Ohio State, a little undersized, but I liked him a lot. So I think edge rusher, defensive tackle are kind of the two positions you look at of, they may not be your biggest need, but it's just the Niners, man, and they just love to get in the trenches and get the guys that, like last year, it was Robert Beal Jr. was supposed to be this guy in the sixth round that has potential, and in previous years, it's been maybe overdrafting some players. Drake Jackson comes to mind in the second round, more of a project, but I think edge rusher makes some sense. The issue with this edge rushing class is that a lot of them are undersized. So you're going to hear names tomorrow like Javon Solomon. He's 6 foot. Mo Kamara, who is a production monster that had literally 45 tackle for losses, 30 and a half sacks, and five forced fumbles in 5 years at Colorado State. He's 6'1". It's not like they have this bona fide archetype edge rushers.
Well, that's what happens when you're in round 4, 5, and 6.
That said, there is one. And if you build it, he will come. His name is Xavier Thomas. Consensus 5th, 6th round pick, which means he'll go in the 4th because it's the Niners, right? He's 6'2", so a little bigger size, 244 pounds. Does have some lower leg injury history, so he could be a Jacksonville Jaguar come tomorrow as well.
Shout out Trent Baalke. You know he loves
who
those injured
players. Did it again
players.
Today with Mason Smith from LSU, but he's super explosive, really good burst. He'll be 25, but... And I know that sounds weird. You want to take a 25-year-old player. Every selection in this draft so far from San Francisco, 5-year players in college.
Or 6 years.
And Dominic Puny being the 6th-year player. It's not like they're not taking these 5, 6-year players, older players that have a lot of, I don't want to say tread, but experience in college. They're more proven. Pearsall is proven.
Also been healthy players.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe Thomas doesn't
without
fit that
an injury
mold,
history.
But then you can take it a little further if you want to go to the interior of the defensive line. Leonard Taylor from Miami is still there, I believe. And he's 6'3", 305 pounds, a phenomenal run defender. And this team right now does not have a run defending defensive tackle. You have Hargrave and Malik Collins, who are go-get-the-quarterback kind of guys. You want that run-stuffing defensive tackle? Leonard Taylor, Miami, is your style of defensive tackle.
Okay, I like it. Yeah, I mean, defensive line in general, the Niners, generally speaking, they pick a lot of them in drafts. They have not yet. I would imagine we see at least one or two of those guys in the final 6 picks for the 49ers. A lot of people on the YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union and the Xfinity Mobile text line.
Fossey, I see him.
Talking about linebacker as well. I'm not so sure linebacker is a huge need, Sterling. I know that you know, you think, well, Dre Greenlaw tore his Achilles in the Super Bowl. Very unfortunate, and it's obviously he's not going to be ready for week one. At least that seems very, very likely. I would be incredibly shocked if that were to happen. So you need someone to step up. However, the 49ers, you look back at last year's draft class, you got a couple of guys who maybe you could fill in there. You've got D. Winters. I know Jalen Graham, 7th-round pick, was technically drafted at a college as a safety but can move up and play that position as well. You got a couple of guys who can slide in there. Do you think linebacker is a position of need, and might they go for a linebacker in the final day of the draft tomorrow?
It does depend on, obviously, who's there. It does feel like if you're the Niners, you're in a place where Devondre Campbell's probably going to be your starting linebacker across from Fred Warner to begin the season,
at least.
Yeah,
signed him from Green Bay in the offseason.
And it depends on what you want to do. Do you want a player like Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State to, if you watch Michigan play, you know Tommy Eichenberg.
Yeah.
High floor, low ceiling kind of guy, just gets it done, is not going to hurt you. He's okay in coverage. Good run defender, but he isn't the hyper-athletic guy the Niners like in Winters and Graham and Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. If you want to get nuts, you can go with JT Bertrand from Notre Dame. He's 6 foot, 235 pounds. You talk about athlete, he's an athlete. He can keep up with receivers at linebacker. And again, Johnny Holland, the linebacker's coach in San Francisco, has said, if you can cover, we want you. So I wouldn't expect that to be like the fourth, fifth round, but they got two fourth-round draft picks, two fifth-rounders, so it's not like we have to wait too long for some of these players to come off the board. If they like somebody, get them in the room. I'm all for someone beating out Jalen Graham or Demetrius Flanagan-Falls come opening day.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Niners have six selections. Again, you got two in the fourth, you've got two in the fifth, one in each the sixth and the seventh. Six selections left. Let's call our shot right now. I'm not saying throw out a name, throw out a position.
I'll give you whatever you want, Mark. Ricky Pearsall, too.
Six selections. I will predict the Niners are not making six more picks. They're consolidating at least two of these picks into one other.
Okay.
They'll make five picks at the most tomorrow, is what I'll predict.
I would tend to agree with you.
I just don't know if they have, first of all.
Are there five players they like, is the question.
That's one. It's also, I mean, do they have space to add all of these guys onto their roster?
That's a good
point. You got a pretty stacked roster at this point. You don't have a ton of spots that are kind of up for grabs at the moment. You might almost be forced to consolidate at some point just for the sake of not picking somebody that you're going to turn around and cut and not even make the roster come the fall.
Well, so what are the position of needs that you need a number two at? I think
tight end is one.
Tight end, defensive tackle. You probably want to get a safety at some point just to have somebody else in the room. Now, it's not like there aren't players like Quandre Diggs and Justin Simmons and maybe even Gibson comes back. Those things aren't off the table. And once the draft comes and goes, you're going to have teams reignite those conversations with those safeties. So if San Francisco feels good about those players over a player in the draft, I can see that and them skipping on safety. But let's talk tight ends because it's George Kittle and then a bunch of nothing. And if I have heard, or even if I've said, I'm tired of seeing George Kittle in the backfield in the Super Bowl.
Well, and the Niners are too. You mentioned it earlier. They tried to sign Brock Wright. He was a restricted free agent for the Lions. Basically, they're blocking tight end and pretty good at that role. The Lions deemed, nope, too valuable to us. We're going to match your offer sheet. He returns to the Lions. So I think it's not just something that you want. It's something the Niners want. They tried to pay relatively big for a tight end that was just going to block for them, and they couldn't get it done.
So I see Fossey on the YouTube chat, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union, saying, Theo Johnson, and then in all caps later, Theo Johnson.
Penn State tight end.
Let's talk about Theo Johnson. Dame Brugler had him as a third-round player. So if that's the case, you may get good value with him. He's 6'6", 260 pounds. He's a freak athlete at tight end. When I talk about freak athlete, I'm not, he has good speed. No, 90th percentile in almost every single workout he's done during the combine and his pro day. That being said, he only had 34 catches and 7 touchdowns in college. It's not like he has this amazing track record of, yep, that guy makes sense. And he doesn't really fit what the Niners want to do.
What do they want to do?
They want to have a blocking tight end behind Kittle to allow him to be in the passing game more, but also you want to find a number two tight end to at least be a red zone kind of player. And that to me points to two, maybe three tight ends. The first one, Jared Wiley from TCU. Mm. He's 6'6", 250. He's really fast. He's not hyper-explosive and isn't the best run blocker in the world, but he's a great red zone threat you can have with Kittle and Wiley out there as your inline tight ends, and you can make some magic happen. Or Dallin Holker, sixth-round pick per Dane Brugler of The Athletic from Colorado State. He's 6'3", almost 240, relatively so, but 64 catches last year on 105 targets.
Last tight end to come out of Colorado State, pretty good. Trey McBride.
Yeah, from the Cardinals, who also got Tip Ryman today. Jonathan Gannon, what are you doing to me, man? But if you want to go further down the board, Eric All is someone from Iowa. Kittle went to Iowa. Eric All is at Iowa. Coming off a handful of injuries, a really good receiver. Torn ACL last year, back injury 2 years ago. Only played 10 games the past two seasons, but willing blocker. not great, but at least willing to improve, but amazing soft hands, unafraid to work the middle of the field. I can easily see San Francisco saying, yep, that's the guy we want to have behind Kittle. Or if you want to get a little deeper in the draft, Zach Hines, South Dakota State. Give me a mountain man. Big old beard and say, at the goal line, going to score some touchdowns.
Why don't we not go deeper, and why don't I tell you about the guy who's maybe the best available tight end left?
Tell me.
Jatavion Sanders, okay. From Texas?
Texas.
I mean, what is wrong with him? Is he looking at his tape and reading into him, maybe he's not as good of a blocker as the Niners might hope him to be. He's more of a receiving threat.
He's got great hands, though.
So as a result, you think he's... And you might need to use the fourth round pick on him to grab him, as opposed to maybe being able to get a solid blocking tight end later in the draft. But if you're talking about the best receiving threat, it's probably clearly Jatavion Sanders from Texas.
In my little Sterling's big board, I have darn near perfect hands. Like, he is a phenomenal receiver. That said, he's probably going to go.
682 yards, 2 touchdowns last year.
And he's probably was supposed to be a second or third round player and fell.
First team all Big 12 selection.
I'm assuming
for each of the last 2 years.
The blocking is just like, eh.
Set a school record for catches 2022.
There is concerns about his size. I know he is 6'4", 245, and that screams tight end, but the way he plays doesn't match his size. And again, if he's a big slot a la Jawan Jennings, okay. But him being an inline tight end does have a lot of the pundits worried. I'm also not going to be surprised if come pick 124, it's the San Francisco 49ers select a running back. And everyone's like, what are we doing again? Like, what's going on? Like, that said, the running backs are really good in this draft late. Isaac Arendo's on the board still. Dejon Edwards from Georgia is there. If you want to get legacy, Frank Gore Jr. is there. Like, if you got to get one of the legacy guys, everyone loves a Frank Gore on their team, right? But Blake Watson's there. Tyrone Tracy's phenomenal. I wouldn't go fourth round with those guys, but it's Kyle Shanahan. He's going to take a running back. He joked about it yesterday in an interview. He was like, yeah, we'll take one in the third round. He'll stink. The guy in the sixth round will be great. So they're going to take one. I would lean Grendo. So don't be surprised if you're like, we're going to get all these great players at positions of need. Then it's the running back, and we're like, we have the best one in the entire NFL.
Yeah, Kyle, have you not learned?
No.
You also have depth behind him already. You don't, you've drafted them like each of the last 4 years. You don't need more running backs.
Yeah. It's.
I hope not.
Well, I think they need one. Jordan Mason never plays. Who, and I like him. Mitchell is always hurt, and when he's healthy, he's fine, but he's always hurt. He was hurt almost the entirety of training camp last year and 2 years ago. Then they signed a guy, I'm forgetting his name, from Green Bay this past year they like, but is more of a special teamer. So I can see a sixth-round running back. Like, if it's Blake Watson, who they like, who's a really good pass catcher, he's 5'9", good running back, or a Tyrone Tracy who has amazing speed. There are these players in the six rounds that could actually be an impactful player on the roster come year one.
Yeah, maybe you draft Frank Gore Jr. with your final pick whenever that does come.
He's so tiny.
He's very small. He's,
like, I love
5'8", 201.
Yeah, like,
from Southern Miss, Frank Gore Jr.
He's an amazing blocker. if you want a blocking running back, which Shanahan seems to like.
Well, if you don't block, you're not getting on the field.
Hence why Ricky Pearsall went 31, Grandy. That's exactly why.
Yeah, this is not just a wide receiver specific or running back specific thing. It's for everyone on the field, which is also probably why you're right. Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas, I would not expect to be a 49er because the goal is to get George Kittle more often involved in the route tree. And by doing that, you would be selecting a blocking tight end, not a receiving threat at tight end. So a lot that could happen tomorrow for the 49ers, rounds 4 through 7. They currently have 6 picks, 2 in the 4th round, 2 more in the 5th, 1 in the 6th, and 1 in the 7th. 6 total picks lined up for tomorrow. I would be shocked if they make 6 selections. I think they do consolidate a pick or 2 to move up potentially earlier into the 4th round. Maybe you consolidate a 6th. And one of your 5ths, and you get further up into the 5th. Who knows? We will see. But the Niners certainly do have that ability, considering all these picks that they do have. And they have a lot of these picks because of the success of their organization. You got coaches leaving, becoming head coaches elsewhere. You've got front office members leaving, becoming general managers elsewhere. You are churning out leaders in this league, and as a result, you're getting these compensatory picks in return, which, who knows, the result of that could be the next franchise alterer like Brock Purdy was, Mr. Irrelevant, two seasons ago. You only got that pick because C.J. Beathard signed elsewhere. You get a comp pick in return for that. Thank you, C.J. Beathard. That's the best thing you've done as a member of the 49ers. Paved the way to Brock Purdy. But really, when you talk about how many comp picks that they have and how many picks as a whole that they have, which gives them the flexibility to potentially make a move and select someone that we might not be expecting tomorrow, you got to just credit the way the organization has been churning out these names year after year after year recently.
And I know last night I was kind of more positive towards the Pearsall pick, but as a whole, I know Bernardo Green wasn't on our mind at pick 64, and it wasn't who we kind of wanted to take there, but let's be positive over the entire draft. Puni could be a starting guard year one. Pearsall can be an amazing slot receiver, impactful year one. Green, from what the consensus might say on Twitter or Daniel Jeremiah, you talk to anybody, they will tell you San Francisco may have stolen a player that nobody was talking about in the second round, including us. Me and you both said, who?
Why the hell is no one talking about him if he's this good?
But even Elijah Green, who went late to the Cardinals, nobody was talking about him. And he's a player you point to and say an 18.1 pass rating allowed. How is he not ranked higher? I think it's just the Niners have these niche players and skill sets they like, where Andrew Phillips, far better coverage player overall than Bernardo Green. But press man coverage, scheme change, reverting back to who they once were, just fits what they want to do. And when you talk about big games, it's not like Green shies away from going toe-to-toe
Malik
with
Neighbors and Brian Thomas,
who many people would have said, if you're going to trade Ayuk, give me Brian Thomas.
If you haven't yet watched the tape of Bernardo Green of Florida State against LSU from early in this most recent college football season, I would suggest go doing it. It is impressive and very complimentary of Bernardo Green.
Is there one pick in the second round and third round that you just point to and say, what is that? Like,
oh, you mean like as a whole,
anybody,
not just for the 49ers?
Like, why? Like, I'm trying to think, and the one that comes to mind to me is Mason Smith to Jacksonville. And it's not to say the talent isn't there. He's a 5-tech on the defensive line. He's 6'5", 306. He has the build. But this is a guy that has missed significant time over the past few years. And last year he played 12 games, 28 tackles, 4.5 tackles for losses, and 2.5 sacks. Like, he's a third-round pick, and third-round pick is kind of a place where you'll gamble so a guy doesn't get to day three because you want him in the building. But I just think the Jacksonville Jaguars, you just signed Derek Armstead. You got Brian Thomas. Mason Smith, to me, feels like a massive reach on day two. Granted, it is Trent Baalke, who I think is the worst GM in the entire NFL. So it makes sense. Put two and two together, and you're like, that's Trent. Ruin the Niners. So maybe it's a good thing Smith is going there, but I sat there and I was like, what are the Jaguars doing?
Speaking of former 49ers, and this is complete opposite of what you're talking about, someone who's having a really awesome draft, Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
Bolt up, baby!
I mean, you look at what the Chargers are doing right now, and let me bring up their full pick. So they get Joe Alt, the best offensive lineman in the draft.
Fans were mad about that. Like,
well, what were you expecting?
Didn't give Malik Neighbors.
Did you hear what Jim Harbaugh said after the pick last night?
Because
he's been asked about it like all offseason leading up to the pick. He's like, I know you're going to ask about a weapon on offense. And he just said, like, in only Jim Harbaugh way, he just says, we view offensive linemen as a weapons. That's the classic Jim Harbaugh line.
That would scare me. He's like, offensive line is a weapon.
But Joe Alt, Notre Dame, offensive tackle. He's probably going to be a starting tackle for them for like the next 7 years. He's awesome.
They have two bookends now, Slater and him.
Yep,
guarding
very, very good. Ladd McConkey, wide receiver from Georgia, who I think people were expecting the Niners to pick if they were to pick a wide receiver, potentially over Ricky Pearsall, but they go Pearsall.
Wrong.
And then Junior Colson, a linebacker from Michigan, reuniting with his college coach. And that's a pretty good first three picks for Jim Harbaugh.
They took Kenneth Murray roughly 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a massive whiff. Oklahoma guy. It sucked for me, but it is what it is. But
Boomer.
Junior Colson, Michigan guy, Harbaugh knows him well. That man plays Mike linebacker, and that dude is a thumper over the middle to a point where it's like, if we're playing in the preseason, Shanahan, put nobody of value over the middle of the field. They will get destroyed by Junior Colson.
Yeah. And to answer a YouTube question by Never Go Full Jeff, didn't Harbaugh draft Upati and Davis back in his Niner days? Yes. A first-round pick, Mike Upati and Anthony Davis, and those were a couple of the stalwarts of a team that went to three NFC championships games in three straight years.
Both first-round picks, right?
Yeah.
Man.
I remember at the moment, Niner fans were like, oh, this is so boring. Give us the big-name offensive players.
Protect our quarterback. We'll never do that.
Those were the two key players that led you to a Super Bowl appearance and two other NFC championship game appearances.
If only get it through his head.
I'm with you.
Guard your quarterback.
I'm with you. All right. That'll do it for us tonight. We'll see if the Niners make another offensive line selection tomorrow. They've got six picks over the final four rounds, two in the fourth, two in the fifth, one in the sixth, one in the seventh. Sterling Bennett will be here tomorrow morning beginning at 9 to hold your hand through it all. It should be a ton of fun.
Come with me.
It'll be Sterling Bennett and Dan Devone, 9 to noon, reacting to rounds 4 through 7 of the 2024 NFL Draft. Do the Niners go offensive line? Do they go linebacker? Do they go tight end? Do they go defensive end, defensive tackle? Do they pick a late quarterback?
Running back!
Running back! We'll find out. Sterling Bennett will tell you all you need to know about it tomorrow, 9 to noon, here on 95.7 The Game. But that will do it for us today. Thanks so much for tuning in all day long. For Sterling Bennett, my name is Mark Ranney signing off. Thanks so much for listening. Sterling's back tomorrow right here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.